Tuesday night. End of day, so are we? Everybody else, you want?
Right, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Okay, Shaila number one. You have a lady that was in. She gets up in the morning, and obviously, after all the children go to school, eventually go out of the house. The house is a bit of a pigsty, and they need to. Baruch Hashem, she's got as a plus of having a good cleaner, which is not always easy to find. Someone once said to a chosen that when you're a chosen under the chuppah, remember to daven that you should be zechet a good cleaner, because it's not so posh. It's very important for the stability of the house if she feels that she needs a helper. And she hears a knock on the door at 9:30 in the morning, the cleaner's coming, and she had just then punked open her siddur, and she began Shemini Esra, Hashem Sefasa Tevta, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. Knock. She hears that knock, she knows that knock of every morning, the cleaner coming, that knock is the cleaner. And now, she's very worried, Elise is very worried, that if she leaves the cleaner hanging for a few minutes, right, then either she'll start texting and she doesn't see any response, then she'll go and Ochenvei, if there'll be a day without the cleaner, it's going to mean very, very tragic. And itak indeed is. And the question is, she's got two options. Either to whip through Shemini Esra as quick as she can, in order to at least have a chance of opening the door and see if she's still there and shout down the road. Or the other option would be, is to maybe, where she is, yeah, Melech Hoizim Shia Mogin, Baruch Atah Hashem Mogin Avraham, stop where she is, go and open the door, go like this, give a nod, and then go back to where she is and say, Atah Giboy. Basically, in the middle of Shemini Esra, can you move and take a few steps and open the door for a cleaner in order so that the rest of your Shemini Esra will be Bekavona?
Yeah.
Or do you say, no, hang on a second, you're Milosh Shemini Esra, who are you talking to? To Hashem, or you're dealing with a cleaner? What would you say the correct thing to do is? Don't forget, whatever you choose is going to have a chisaron. If you choose to open the door, then you're giving up on your Shemini Esra, you're mafsik. Yeah, very good. So he's saying that, carry on Shemini Esra, and I'll be talking. What's he talking about? That maybe
sure wait.
Sure
wait.
Very good. So, the Maisa, or state wegen them, the Maisa is very stark that Milosh Shemini Esra, there's an Issa Hefsik by Emsa Shemini Esra. But the Issa Hefsik, the main Issa Hefsik in Simuk Kuv Dalet, is regarding Hefsik Badibor, speaking in Milosh Shemini Esra. That's the most chomor digger way of being Mafsik. Hefsik in moving around, in just moving from your place, is not quite the same level. The Moshe Mishabura says, when he's discussing all the different types of animals that come your way during Shemini Esra, the cases that we remember when we're younger, Chesel, Nochosh, Korach, Alakeva, and all these things, Mishabura says that's only relevant to actually speaking, calling someone to get someone to get a stick and to whatever, working something out. But regarding actually moving from place to place, Mishabura says any Tzorach would be okay. You should know this is very relevant. When a person comes to Davon, and he's shuffling, and he realizes, Ba'at HaGiboy, there's a bit of a noise. And you know, he always thinks, you know, why is the other person making so much noise? Why is this tefillin knocking on the face on the table? And then he realizes, Ba'at HaChoynin, when he's davening for Das, he realizes actually his own tefillin, which is going backwards and forwards, right? So he's tempted to take a step back, and then when he shuffles, then he'll stop. So is he allowed to take you know, sometimes your arm is brushing against your neighbor's arm. You know, someone knock, he came late, and he comes late, and he goes right next to you, and you know, he's brushing past, he doesn't care. And you don't feel comfortable, right? Can you take a step to the right? That's the shayla, right? So over here, the Mishabura is quite clear that all these cases, if it's Latzorech, that's filled for Kavona, it's okay. The Moshe Mishabura discusses if you have a sefer that falls, the Milosh Shemini Esra, and someone brushes past, and the sefer falls, yeah, and he doesn't chab. Kitzur, you have a sefer on the floor, it bothers you. So, the Mishabura says, if it bothers you, then finish off the bracha and then go and pick out. So
there is always finish off the bracha.
Yeah, so he recommends finishing off the bracha, it's not Mamish Ma'akov, but he recommends finishing off the bracha and then do what you have to do. Back to our case, Lemaisa, Rav Eliashiv, Hagol Rav Eliashiv, he's brought down in the Sefer Isha Yisrael, a very, very reliable Sefer, Isha Yisrael and Hilchos Tefillah, and he quotes Rav Eliashiv very clearly in the Pnim, in the top, and he says that a lady is a Milv Shemini Esra, that the cleaner is waiting by the door, and she's very torrid, she doesn't know what to think, And by opening the door, that would alleviate the stress of the tefillah and be able to, don't forget, tefillah is the main thing. Kavona with tefillah is the main thing. So if we can achieve that by opening the door, not, and afterwards politely say good morning, afterwards say it, you can say sorry, I didn't say good morning to you, whatever, yet somehow polite. That is the interesting kula of Rav Eliyashiv, which is brought down in Ish Yisrael, Belishum Cholik, which is it comes from Hilchas Siman Kuf Dalet, which state that you can, that this is what you can do. So I think it's quite a powerful halacha, which you would have thought. So talking is very, very, very shvei. It has to be a situation of a sakona. I remember when we had in Eretz Yisrael, we had the azaka, the Milosh Min Esra, and we had to run downstairs. So there was nothing to say other than run downstairs. But sometimes if you went past a person who was maybe hard of hearing or anything like that, then you have to say azaka and go inside. You know, I remember being by Rabbi Avadi Yosef, the first time I heard the azaka, I was by Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Zechurin Levrocha, Zechur Sadli Levrocha, and Friday night I was there, and everyone ran, and Rabbi Avadi stayed by himself. It wasn't because he couldn't hear, he just couldn't be bothered. He was too thick-skinned of a person. He was he had seen a lot in his life, more than a little azaka, it didn't really bother him. And I take it down more or less to like his personality. He's a very thick-skinned personality, and he stayed where he was, and the whole shul ran inside, because the shul of Rabbi Avadia was all glass on the side, so it was a pachad bedsim, so everyone ran in. Shaila number two is regarding, let's discuss the shaila, benegir to Hilchas Brochas, because we have Tu B'Shvat coming on. Tomorrow night is Tu B'Shvat. Let me just share with you, people discuss Hilchas Brochas, when it comes to Tu B'Shvat, we discuss Hilchas Brochas. Let me just share with you, I think I mentioned it in before, but I think it's so common, this shaila, but it's so important to be aware of it, that when you go to a Kiddush, the Moshel, you go to a Kiddush, Shabbos day, and you go, you want to wish Mazel Tov, and you go and you actually, the Machabad you to make Kiddush, so you take a cup and you pour wine, or you come home after a long davening, and you pour grape juice in a cup, and you make a bracha bo pri agofen. Ah, you feel geschmack, you have some rogelach, and then a minute later, you have a drink. So it's very common that, you know, you pick up the drink, nice Coca-Cola, zero noch, you haven't got any sugar, you feel good about it, and you have your cup of Coca-Cola. What you're tempted to do is to, like a good person, to go and make a shahakon imidvore. Baruch atah Hashem, ha'im shahakon imidvore. But it's very important to know that such a thing can't be done, because if you were the one that drank a melelugma of Kiddush wine, you can't, that patters you from a bracha rishona of the bo'pria gofen and of shahakon ibadvari, and obviously that can't be done. I think it's a very valuable halacha. Just drinks. Obviously, if there's obviously fish balls or chocolate or anything else, sweets or anything like that, that obviously won't patter it, because only drinks that it patters it. Let me share with you an interesting shaila which I want to hear. I want to hear what you have to say. It's not so common. It's more of a shaila for when you get to sheva brachas. If you've ever been to a sheva brachas, you'll see that what they do is they take two koises. Kois number one goes to the person who gets the mezamen, the person who makes the bracha of zimun. And he does zimun, he makes the bracha, very nice. Kois number two, they fill it up, and they pass it round to all the six people who get brachas here, to Adam, Ashebor, all those things. And the final one is Ashebor Asos Mesimcha, he gets the nice bracha achreta. If you count the brachas, there's only six. Yitzhak Odom, go through all of them, there's only six. Asher Bora is the sixth one. Where is your Sheva Brochas? Where's your seventh Brocha? Everyone says, you got the person who's saying Bo'pri Agofen. Very interesting, Ha'ori. The seven Brochas is said on a second cup. Yeah. Why do you need two cups? Because of the klal of Ein Oisem Mitzvahs Chavilis Chavilis. You don't want to do everything together, so you split the two. Make one of the Brocha Bo'pri Agofen. The Brochas HaMozon requires its own benching. And then you got another kois for the sheva brachas. I ask you, you got six brachas on the second kois, but where is the seventh bracha on the second kois? You're going to say the other one. Very nice, but no one's touched that kois. You know, it's so interesting. I looked into this. Oh, so what happens is, let me just tell you what happens is, the person who made brachas amozen, he said brachas bo'pri agofen. Yes, he's always got the change of tone. The person who makes the mezamen, he's making bo'pri agofen, and he drinks a little bit. Then they take the full second kois and they mix it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you see?
Yeah.
Very good. You should look at Broisa Shkoch. It was worth me sharing it because I've asked me. Very good. Very good. Let me clear up. Very good. Very good. He's assuming something which this is the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that what happens commonly is, not like you're saying, that what happens commonly is which I think is not so correct, is that the second kohen doesn't get attached. After Asher Bora, we don't hear much of it, until the Mevorech of Bura, the Mezaman, let's call him the Mezaman, drinks, let's say, Melulugma, drinks already from the first kohen. Then they take the full kohes and they mix it together and give one to the chosam, one to the kala. And that is usually what happens.
Yes.
That means no one drinks from the second kohes originally. Obviously after they split, after they split, after chosam kala, it's afterwards. But no one is drinking, no one is drinking from the first kohes, from the second kohes.
It was no one. Kala says chosam kala,
there's
nobody.
Voshtet lemaisa is, it seems that there's an inyan that after the mezamen makes a bracha b'priyat gofen on his kohes, no, someone else, either the person who made the asher bora or someone else, shall make his own b'priyat gofen on the other kohes. Listen, very interesting. Open a pisachet shuvah in Siman Samach Beis in the halachas regarding sheva brachas. The pisachet shuvah brings from the hamakna, and he says that you know the person who's got the second kohes after he finishes the asher bora doesn't have to make his own bo'i priya gofen in order to drink. He can be yotze his bo'i priya gofen from the mezaman. But he's obviously assuming that he zecha needs to drink from the second kohes. There needs to be someone drinking from the second kohes.
Why can't chosam kala be good to drink it?
So you're asking, under Akasha, why can't it be that the kala, one gets passed to the kala, one gets passed to the chosam? And that is considered as if they... Yeah, okay, that's an interesting thought. We need to be mavari. So again, this is just... This is just a shaila which I looked into now.
So this is the
sheva brachas. The problem is, where is the seventh bracha? That's the bit of the funny thing. Where is the seventh bracha? To call it the mezamen, you don't want it, the bracha of Bepri Agofen of the mezamen has nothing to do with your second kohes. If you would have, then you would just make everything in one kohes. What's the whole deal of getting two kohes and only making
so
shesh brachas?
If the kala is drinking from the kohes of the sixth brachas, obviously she's been yotze from Bepri Agofen from the mezamen.
Yeah, but then it's already a mixture. So then it's already a mixture of both. So the poskim that I've seen, they're all mentioning this.
When you make shalvachos b'shalosh shulis, it's after nacht.
Yeah.
Drink that course.
Ah, no, that's a separate issue. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, I tell you what, the reason why I mentioned it now is to make our scholar, it's a new shayla which I've asked around, and it's a bit messy. We made our scholar, Mr. Shem, I'll get back to you on this one. I just want to share with you another shayla. I want to hear what you have to say about the shayla. Very interesting. There's a bocha who's got a roommate who finds it struggle. He struggles with the vaping, not generally, on Shabbos. He struggles with vaping on Shabbos. So every, you know, people have their struggles, they go, you know, people have their circles, they go around and hopefully at some point in life, it stables out and they realize what they want in life and v'chula v'chula. But the Maisa, while they're going around the circle, which is a very common thing, while they're going around the circle, they're struggling with vaping on Shabbos, let's say. So this bocha tells me that sometimes on Shabbos day, Shabbos morning, the other boy doesn't want to vape on Shabbos. So he hands over the vape to him, in order that he should hide it from him, in order that he shouldn't have to come on to touching his vape on Shabbos. He doesn't want to smoke on Shabbos. He's holding by that level, he doesn't want to. He just, if he's got in control, if he knows where he is, and he puts it in his cupboard, his third cupboard, he knows in an hour's time he might see himself vaping. So, the bocha has a shayla, if he's handed over the vape machine,
on Shabbos,
he's basically approached. he's approached on Shabbos for him to take the vape and put it away. So now, really, the vape machine is muksa. The vape machine is muksa, and the shayla is: can he take the vape machine, a small, you know, rectangular machine, from his friend, and take it and put it into a secret place where he considers it secret, in order that he shouldn't be able to find it? So now, kalacha yad, we've always mentioned in the past that to move muksa, kalacha yad is always okay. And we mentioned the shayla, when a person finds £2 in the road, then and he wants to he wants to push it with his foot, he wants to stick it under a leaf, we said it's absolutely fine. Mishnah Berurah says that to do tiltul kalacha yad with your foot, with your elbow, or your knee, that's going to be okay, as long as it's not the derech to do that. Sometimes it is the derech, by the way. We discussed in the past, maybe the heater, you know, sometimes you've got the electric heater, the oil heater. We discussed that the oil heater becomes a bosses to the element, because there's a hot element inside the heater. And sometimes you want to kick, if you always normally move the oil heater with your foot, then that's not called a shinya. You'd have to maybe do it with your elbow or some other shinya, your knee. But in a case where you're doing it with a shinya, it's always going to be okay. But the shayla is
here. The in your hand, you're picking it up.
Right, so I mean, over here, well, he's always got the option to say, I can't take it because it's Shabbos today and I don't want to move moksa. Very interesting. When it comes to a keli shemalachta le'isa, a pen, scissors, hammer, all these sort of things, where it's a keli, a simple phone, right, not expensive, a normal thing, then we say the halacha is that it's a keli shemalachta le'isa, and a keli shemalachta le'isa can be moved, but tzorech gufoi umekoime. Gufoi means you want to use it for something which is mutar on Shabbos. Let's say a phone book. Let's say you want to go to a Shalom Zocher and you don't know where the person lives, you're not sure if it's this or there. Can you take a phone book to check up, not his phone number, to check up his address? We say if you want to use a letter of gufoy, that's the way of using a letter of gufoy. Let's say you haven't got any back scratcher besides for a pen local. Obviously, lechatchila, try and get something else, but if you can't, you can actually pick up a pen and scratch your back. We said the joke, if you want to learn Hilchos Shabbos with your son and you learn the halachos, but you want a pointer, right? Your son can't concentrate. He can't concentrate without a pointer. You look here, you look there for a pointer. You can't find the pointer. You can take a pen and sit down with your son and use the pen as a pointer to learn Hilchos Shabbos. And part of the halachas you can learn with him is that the halacha that for a kedush melech leisa you can use the term gufay mekayve. That's the halacha. Yeah, again, obviously we try and avoid these things, but as each state you can do. So you can take a pen. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you got a kedush melech leisa is mutar the term gufay umekayve, or the place that you or the place that it is. Let's say there's a hammer on the table, on your bed. You left the scissors on the bed, or let's say a camera on the bed, so you're allowed to pick it up and just with your hands and take it. Here, a camera, let's say you find the camera on your bed. And it's called a Kedish Melech Le'isa because you want the space, Mekoimo. A not expensive camera. An inexpensive camera you can move, let's say a Kufay Mekoimo. So you're allowed to move it if you want to use it as the goof, or for Mekoimi for the place that is lying. Here, with our case, when the person, the bocha, wants to receive the machine, the vaping machine, he's not holding it, let's say, gufoy, because he's not going to use it actually to find anything. And he's not using it, let's say, Mekoimi for anything. He's just, he wants to be metaltel it so that a malacha shouldn't take place of smoking. So it's not a tzorech gufoy, not a tzorech mekoimo. Do you know where I have it? It's negeir.
Then he's telling the other guy to put it on his cushion.
Yeah, but then he knows where it is. He wants the other part to hide it.
From there, the hider can take it from his cushion.
Oh, you can hide it. Yeah, actually that's the way. But you have to know the relationship between them. But one thing. Do you know the old switches for the lights that when you switch it on, you know the old strings. The old strings. Yeah, you press the string. So I remember in the old toilets they had this. I remember in yeshiva so there was a bocha. A bocha had a job to always make sure the string was always tucked and tied over the bar. Yeah, so make sure no one can inadvertently pull the string on Shabbos. I remember on the Shabbos that the bocha forgot to put the string behind. The shaila is, can you on Shabbos pick up the string and throw it over the lever to make sure no one presses it? I think it's the same shaila. It's moving a kedush melech le'isa. I think that this switch is considered a kedush melech le'isa. It's a kedush which is the tzorech, not gufay, not mekoyme, just for isa. I don't find that. I don't think it's a glatta isa. Shkach.
I'm just asking you.